Let us open our Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And we will read the first 30 verses. John 10, the first 30 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. I hope to be in your midst a few times in the coming weeks, and with that in mind, I hope to preach a number of sermons from Psalm 23. This evening, the first verse of Psalm 23, but let us read the entire psalm. Psalm 23, a well-known and precious psalm. a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, the text for this evening's sermon is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Dear congregation of Hamilton, there are two primary reasons why I would like to preach on Psalm 23. For one thing, for the comfort and the encouragement of God's people. That has been the purpose of this psalm. For the way through this life for the children of God is not an easy way. David knows that. David speaks of that, of the need for a sheep to be fed, of weariness and the sheep needing rest, of fears and anxieties like the valley of the shadow of death and needing to be comforted. Psalm 23 reckons with sorrow and sin and suffering and death, and the believer needs to be comforted. The second reason why I would like to preach on this psalm is to arouse unbelievers to a holy jealousy. After all, this psalm gives us a glimpse of the care of the Lord for his sheep and the love that he has for his sheep. And if you are not a sheep of the shepherd, then you miss his love and his care. And I hope and pray you will be made jealous of the care and love of this shepherd for his sheep. Let us listen to this confession of faith by David, the Lord my shepherd. That's what you can write over the sermon this evening, the Lord my shepherd. We'll see three things. First of all, the care of the shepherd. Secondly, the confession of a sheep. And thirdly, the supplies guaranteed. The Lord my shepherd, the care of the shepherd, the confession of a sheep, and the guarantee of supplies. When we come this evening, dear congregation, to Psalm 23, we come to perhaps one of the most well-known psalms of the Bible. Maybe besides the Lord's Prayer, no other passage is known as well as Psalm 23. You have only to say a few of the words, of the opening words of this psalm, and people recognize it. And children memorize it, and the sick and dying have it read to them. And funeral homes display it on memorial cards. Sad to say, it's sometimes the only thing that people know of the Bible. And they wrongly assume that this shepherd is their shepherd, and that he leads them and makes them rest, and that the bright future in his house forevermore is for them too somehow. And how sad it is that people who all their life have lived without God and now are lying on a sickbed or a deathbed and have it read to them think that everything will be all right, even though they don't know this shepherd for themselves. You see, the comforts of this psalm are only for those who have become a sheep of the shepherd. The blessings spoken of in this psalm are only enjoyed by those who have been redeemed by this shepherd and belong savingly to this shepherd. Now let me say something about the place of Psalm 23 in the book of the Psalms. For this psalm has a certain place in the entire 150 psalms. I mean, it's right in between two other psalms. In between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. The Lord in his wisdom has seen to it that these psalms have been arranged in this order. And these three psalms, 22, 23, 24, belong together. In Psalm 22, we hear foretold the sufferings of the Lord Jesus on the cross. There we hear his cry of distress at the very outset of this psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in Psalm 22, if Psalm 22 tells us of the cross of Christ, then Psalm 24 tells us of the crown of Christ. A song that sings of his glory upon the ascension into heaven after his death and resurrection. And then in between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 stands Psalm 23. In between this cry of agony in Psalm 22 and this shout of victory, Psalm 24, stands this psalm of sympathy, Psalm 23. The song that tells us of the care of the shepherd for his sheep. Some have said that Psalm 22 tells us of the cross of the shepherd. Psalm 23 of the crook or staff of the shepherd. And Psalm 24 sings of the crown of the shepherd. But do you get the point? I have to learn to bow at the cross of the shepherd to know the care of the shepherd. Or to put it this way, apart from the cross of the shepherd, I will not know the care of the shepherd. Now let me say some things about the author of this psalm. There is no doubt about its author. It's a psalm of David. The superscription says so. And we know David as the sweet psalmist in Israel, 2 Samuel 23 verse 1 tells us. We know David as the lad who spent his youth shepherding his father Jesse's flock. He knew about the life of sheep, the needs of sheep, the dangers that sheep faced, and he had a heart for the sheep. The author is David. But when did David write this psalm? Did he write it as a young shepherd boy on the hills of Bethlehem? And maybe having written it as a young shepherd boy in the hills of Bethlehem, did he maybe sing it in the court of King Saul? Did David write this psalm in his earlier years? It is possible. After all, besides the opening phrase, which is in the present tense, the rest of the psalm is written in the Hebrew future tense, in the Hebrew imperfect tense. And that's why some conclude that David wrote it as a young man. But it's also possible that David wrote it later in his life. Some say he wrote it during the time that he was on the run from his son Absalom. And that can be. Later in his life, maybe. After all, there seems to be a maturity to this psalm that seems to say that it was written as a result of much life experience from a man who has seen a lot in his life, who has been tried and tested in his life, who has been troubled in his life. But here, with this experience and maturity, speaks of the goodness of the Lord and can say, "This is what the Lord has been for me. This is what the Lord has done for me." And can say it, as it were, in the words of Psalm 37. "I have been young, and now am old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And so, perhaps as a psalm written later in his life, having been tested, and having fallen, and having been tried, and he's been struggling with this question maybe in his life: am I now really a sheep of the shepherd? And faith has been exercised in him again by the result of the working of the Holy Spirit, so that he can say with confidence, "Yes, the Lord is my shepherd." But now, what explains the goodness of the Lord to David? David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a tender picture that David gives of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, it's not the first time that we hear about the Lord as the shepherd of his people. Already in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we meet Jacob reflecting back over his life in Genesis 48, and we find him on his deathbed, and he says to those who are listening, "The God which fed me all my life long unto this day." And that word translated there by our Authorized Version as fed is the same word that David uses here. Literally, Jacob is saying, "The God who shepherded me all my life long, he has been my God." Jacob did not say, "I have been a shepherd myself." That was true. But he doesn't say that on his deathbed. He says, "I have a shepherd in the Lord." Other pages too in the Bible give us this comparison. Asaph, for instance, reflects on the Lord's dealing with Israel and says, "Do you know what the Lord has been? Do you know what the Lord has done? He has led his people like a flock." Psalm 77. Psalm 80 sings of the Lord as the great shepherd who leads his people in love. And Psalm 100, the church sings, "We are his flock, he doth us feed, and for his sheep he doth us take." And the Lord is described like this in Isaiah 40 with a very tender picture. He will carry the lambs in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And in the prophecy of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, he makes himself known as the shepherd. Even when others neglect the Lord's sheep, with the result that they have been driven away and they have been scattered, the Lord says, "I will both search my sheep and seek them out, and I will feed them in a good pasture." Ezekiel 34. And in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the shepherd of Psalm 23. After all, he calls himself, as we read together in John 10, as the good shepherd. The shepherd, the good one. And the Pharisees and the scribes listening to Jesus' teaching knew exactly what he was saying. They knew the claim he was making. For at the end of this chapter in John 10, they're ready to stone him to death, because he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be the shepherd of Psalm 23. He is the good shepherd. Yes, the good shepherd. There is no badness in him. He is good and does good. He's not only called the good shepherd in the scriptures, he's also called in Hebrews 13 verse 20 the great shepherd. It's as if the apostle has this overwhelming impression of the greatness and majesty of this shepherd. After all, John says it, "He made all things, and without him was not anything made that was made." And in 1 Peter, he is called the chief shepherd. Yes, there Peter is giving instructions to under-shepherds in the church, and he is saying the Lord Jesus is the pattern for your work. But he's the chief shepherd. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown that fadeth not away." But now, what can we say of the shepherd? How can we describe the shepherd? Well, let me say it with three things. For one thing, he is the compassionate shepherd. The compassionate shepherd. That's the picture that we get from this psalm. As one who is concerned for the sheep. You see, to be a shepherd is not an occupation for those who are self-absorbed, for those who are just taken up with themselves. The Lord Jesus will tell us in John 10 of hirelings who are out for themselves, and in the face of danger, they'll run and flee because they just want to protect their own skin. But the Lord Jesus is the compassionate shepherd. He's concerned for the well-being of the sheep. We read that another time in Matthew 9, verse 36 of the Lord Jesus this, "When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." He's the compassionate shepherd. He had compassion on the multitude in the wilderness, having no food to eat. Compassion on people in need. That means this evening, dear congregation, that if you're asking, maybe troubled by the sad things in your life and burdened by the difficult trials in your life, and maybe you're even distressed because of your sin about who you are and what you've done, and your sin and guilt trouble you, and you ask, does anyone really care? The shepherd does. He's the compassionate shepherd. The Lord Jesus cares. He's moved with compassion. He's the compassionate shepherd. Secondly, he's the strong shepherd. The strong shepherd. For what good is a compassionate shepherd who cannot do his job? And the task of a shepherd is a demanding task. The task of a shepherd is not for the weak. It's a task for the strong. The shepherd has to be prepared to do anything at any time of the day or night for the good of the sheep. The shepherd needs to be strong. Such is the Lord. He has strength. So that if you find yourself weak, and if you find yourself weary, and you cannot bring yourself where you need to be, He can come. He can pick you up. He can bring you where you cannot bring yourself. He has all power in heaven and on earth. After all, it's the Lord who is the shepherd. He doesn't grow weary and tired. He doesn't faint. After all, He will not fail thee, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And He knows how to keep His sheep. He's the compassionate shepherd. He's the strong shepherd. And thirdly, He's the wise shepherd. The wise shepherd. Yes, a shepherd has to be wise in order to know how to lead his sheep. He has to know where to lead them, how to lead them. He has to know how to bear with their weaknesses. He has to know how to make them follow Him, how to instruct them, how to keep them close to Himself. It's a wise shepherd whom we need. And that is the Lord. As Daniel 2 verse 20 puts it, wisdom and might are His. Or as Paul puts it in 1 Timothy 1 verse 17, He is the only wise God. But a ground of hope that is for the needy soul, that the Lord is the shepherd, the one who made heaven and earth and all that it contains. The Lord is the shepherd, the one too whom we have sinned against. He's also the one who comes to take sinners into His care, and the shepherd who leads them and feeds them till they reach the Father house. The shepherd is among His sheep. He's with them in their journeys. He's with them in their pastures. A shepherd is one who is with them, shepherding them. There is a shepherd, and the Lord is that shepherd. And He has sheep. And we hear in our second point the confession of one of them. Yes, the confession of a sheep. Yes, the Lord has sheep. And we hear from the mouth of one of them in this psalm and from his pen. And he confesses that he is one of the sheep of this great shepherd. Now, to be compared to sheep is not the most flattering thing. Sheep, after all, are not such impressive animals. They cannot fight. They cannot flee. They cannot find. They cannot fight. When sheep come face to face with a predator, they don't have sharp teeth. They don't have impressive claws. They don't have the fierce horn whereby they can thrust into the bodies of their enemies. Sheep, in the face of a predator, all they can do is stamp their foot up and down. And you understand that would not frighten too many lions or bears or wolves. They cannot fight. They also cannot flee. sheep are not fast. They cannot escape danger. They don't know how to. And they cannot find. They are animals that only know how to get lost and stay lost. And even if they are not far from home, on their own, they will not get any closer to where they need to be. And that means that sheep are in great danger, exposed to many dangers, and to wild beasts. They go astray. And is that not a fitting description of you and me? We cannot fight. We cannot fight the enemy that we need to fight, Satan, and the world, and our own flesh. And we cannot flee from the world. And we cannot find of ourselves. We're helpless, and we're needy, and we're dependent. Just like sheep, we need a shepherd to lead us into the green pastures to graze so that we are there fed and led. And we need to be kept from poisonous plants and disease-ridden puddles in order that we might feed and drink in good places. I know many people see no need for guidance from the Lord. They see no need for the Lord. They see no need for salvation from the Lord. People say it by nature. We can manage just fine. Everything is going well. Yes, we're doing fine. But what a mess we make of our lives with all that we have, with all that we do, and we miss true comfort and rest. Have you come to see that already? By the light of the Holy Spirit, that you are lost and helpless. Do you know what it is to cry out of your need for help and for comfort, saying, Lord, I'm lost. I don't know how to find my way. I can't find my way. True, this was not always our description. Before the fall into sin, we did not wander. We desired the Lord. We loved nothing better than walking with the Lord in the cool of the day. But in Adam we wandered away, and the sad result is told us in Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Or in the words of Psalm 58 verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. And what awaits us for our straying from God? Perdition. Without the shepherd, what awaits us is perdition. Without him, we will perish. Have you come to see you need him? That you need him to seek you. You need him to find you. And that's what the shepherd does. Yes, this shepherd has sheep. How come? Let me give four reasons. For one thing, because he's loved them. He's loved them. In the words of Jeremiah 31 verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Or in the words of Paul in Ephesians 2 verse 4, writing to the people of God, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's the reason why he takes sheep into his possession. He has loved them. Secondly, he is bought them. Now, how does a shepherd get a flock of sheep? He has to go and buy sheep. A shepherd has to purchase them with money gotten by blood, sweat, and tears. It's what Jesus will say in John 10. I have also bought. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Paul puts it very personally in Galatians 2 verse 20 about Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. They were promised by the Father in the counsel of redemption in eternity past. They were purchased by the Son in time, not with gold and silver, Peter writes, but with his precious blood. He loved them. He bought them. Thirdly, he sought them. He sought them. He is the seeking shepherd. Luke 15 tells us that he leaves the 99 to seek out the lost one. What a compassion, don't you think? that the shepherd sacrifices so much to seek and to save, and that he seeks and seeks till he finds. He searches and continues searching till he finds. He found a far-off Manasseh. He found a far-off Saul of Tarsus. He found them hurt and broken. He found them crying for mercy. He found them in need of salvation. He loved them. He bought them. He sought them. Fourthly, he brought them. He brings them to himself. He brings them into his fold. Jesus pictures it so tenderly in Luke 15 in the parable of the lost sheep, where he finds it. He lifts the sheep up. He doesn't begin to lecture the sheep. He doesn't begin to rebuke the sheep. He doesn't say, look at the mess you got yourself into. The sheep knows that already. And the shepherd doesn't just tug at the fleece of the sheep and stand him up and point in the direction and say, that's the way to go home. I found you, but you'll have to make sure that you get home safe by yourself. No, he takes the sheep as it is. And without any word of rebuke and delay, he lifts it up, puts it on his shoulders, and brings him into the fold. Has that happened in your life already? Has he brought you into the fold? How do you know this has happened? How do you know if you belong to this shepherd? We must not go wrong here. It's not enough to say, well, I do many good things, and I've made confession of faith, and I say my prayers, and I give to the church. The Lord Jesus gives different marks of the sheep of God. In John 10, verse 27, there he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Those are the two marks that show whether you are a sheep of the shepherd or not. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Spurgeon says, Christ's sheep have a earmark and a footmark. Yes, they have an earmark. They hear my voice, the Lord Jesus says. They recognize his voice. After all, he has called them effectually. He has called them irresistibly. And yes, they recognize his voice in the faithful preaching of the gospel. And it's what they love to hear. And they want to hear it regularly. And it's a voice to which they have learned to respond by the grace of the Spirit. True, there is the general call of the gospel. Many people hear his voice in the gospel with their ears. But his sheep hear his voice with their heart. And it's a voice that calls them from darkness to light. It's a voice that calls them from death to life. And by that voice of his, he produces faith in their soul and love in their heart. And it's a voice that they recognize and delight to hear. Some of you have no doubt heard of Douglas MacMillan, who has a small book on Psalm 23. Douglas MacMillan was a Reformed minister in Scotland in the last century. But before he became a minister, he was a shepherd. And he recounts how, after having been in seminary for some time, he returned home to the sheep, and his brother was caring for the sheep. And the first morning that he was back, Douglas MacMillan said to his brother, let me try calling the sheep this time. And he went to the gate, and like he used to do, he called them. But the sheep continued just to graze. They didn't look up. And so he tried again, but they did not come. And finally, his brother called once, and the sheep came. And even though Douglas MacMillan's voice was similar to his brother's voice, the sheep could hear the difference, and they came. Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? And when you hear the preaching of the gospel, do you hear the Lord Jesus calling you? Do you hear the shepherd calling you? Or are you just hearing some sounds that mean nothing to you and you go home without anything but shrugging your shoulders and it doesn't make any difference in your life? Or when you hear him say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," do you recognize his voice? And does it set you into motion after that voice, drawing near to him? You see, Christ's sheep have an earmark. And they have a footmark. For the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." A true believer is a follower of the Lord Jesus. And Psalm 23 speaks of this in various verses. And he leadeth me beside still waters, verse 2. Verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He has followers. There is the footmark of the Christian. They go behind, not in front. In the path, can I put it very simply, of practical repentance and practical obedience, turning away from the pathway that leads to perdition and following the shepherd and seeking to stay close to the shepherd and desiring to walk near and in obedience with the shepherd. Do you? Is there this footmark in your life? An earmark and a footmark. And maybe someone says, "But Pastor, while I desire to follow him, if I'm honest, so often I stray and I stumble. And it causes me to wonder, am I really one of the sheep? And that's why I need to return to him." But is there a bond? Well, let me use an illustration to try and make this clear. I mean, have you ever seen a yacht towing a little boat? When they start off, it seems like there is no connection between the yacht and the little boat. It's connected by a long tow rope. And that little boat is just bobbing about. But when the yacht begins to move, then you'll see the jerking of the little boat behind it, and it begins to follow. That's how you can tell someone belongs to this shepherd. Oh, I know that following isn't always good, and I know that God's people stray, but there is the cord of the grace of God whereby he doesn't let his sheep go, and it will manifest itself again in the jerking after him and resorting back to him. David has become a sheep of the shepherd. But he not only has become a sheep of the shepherd, he also has knowledge of being a sheep of the shepherd. This is the language of assurance here. He doesn't say, "I believe the Lord is the shepherd." He doesn't say, "I hope the Lord is my shepherd." No, he says with confidence, a humble confidence, no doubt, but with confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd." And am I saying too much when I say, and that's a wonder to David? And that there may have been a struggle with this very thing before he could say it. You see, you don't become a shepherd. You don't become a sheep, rather, of the shepherd just by learning to say a few words and by repeating what others have said. Before I learn to say it about the Lord, I need to hear it from the Lord. And to that end, he has to uncover me to my lost condition, and that my nature is set on straying, and that I will perish unless someone comes to find me. But is that not exactly what he does in his love and compassion? Search for me and sinners like me and sinners like David and sinners like you, in order to find them in their need and sin and misery, crying out for mercy. And he lifts them up and brings them into the fold. And he says, "You are mine." And when the shepherd has said it to you, you are mine, then the sheep learns to say it, and Lord, thou art mine too. Indeed, my sheep hear my voice, and he overwhelms your heart with his love, and he makes you know you are mine. And you love that voice, and that bond has been made, and that bond is strengthened in the life and communion that we have with him. And the confidence deepens, and the assurance grows. No, not because I am such a good sheep, because I'm such a faithful sheep, but because he's the faithful shepherd. You see, and though David may have struggled with this because of his failings and his sins, and maybe if he did write it during the time of Absalom and he looks back and sees what's caused all the infighting in his family and what Absalom is doing to him, and he's troubled and he's burdened, and yet with confidence he may believe, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, he points to the Lord. His faithfulness, it's in capital letters, pointing to his unchanging, steadfast love and faithfulness. And while I find myself prone to wander, Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. Yet it's love that will not let me go. And it's love that brings me back to him. And if that is true, he will supply all my needs. That's our third point, the guarantee of supplies. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or, I shall not be in any want. David does not mean that he'll never have trouble and face trials. But even in adversity, I will not be in any want. I will not lack anything. And David goes on through the rest of the psalm to list the specific supplies that the Lord gives. Verse 2, rest and refreshment. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, restoration into fellowship and favor with God. He restoreth my soul. Leading in the paths that I need to go. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, communion and comfort, even when we have to go deep ways, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 5, provisions, even in the presence of my enemies. Anointing me with oil and a cup running over. And then verse 6, goodness and mercy that follow me all the days of my life. Those are the supplies for the believer, the provisions for his needy people. His needs, the Christian's needs, are all supplied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, David was right when he says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. His needs are all cared for. As David will say in Psalm 34, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And is that not so? Is that not what the Lord Jesus asked his disciples in Luke 22, verse 35? Lack ye anything? They answered, nothing. They lack nothing physically. They lack nothing spiritually. Daily food had been provided for them. Daily grace had been given to them. All that we need, he gives. Yes, also pardon of sin, peace with God, justification, sanctification, adoption, glorification, and an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for his people, the Father house with the many mansions, riches for all who belong to this shepherd, you shall not lack anything. Why is that? It's because of His love, and because of Him who reveals Himself as the Good Shepherd, who was rich but became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich, to Corinthians 8 verse 9. The Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, gave up His riches. He gave up so much, especially on the cross, where He missed comfort, and He missed peace, and He missed His Father. And He cried out, why hast Thou forsaken Me? So that you, dear believer, need not miss anything. And David is saying here what Paul would later on say in Romans 8. The supplies are guaranteed. If God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know this shepherd? That's the question. I did not ask if you know this psalm. I did not ask if you've come to memorize this psalm. No doubt it is a nice psalm to memorize. But my question is not whether you've memorized this psalm and know this psalm, or can even preach this psalm. It's not the most important thing. The question is, do you know this shepherd? Have you come to know Him? Can you say on good ground, humbled, yes, He is my shepherd. He has sought me. He has bought me. And He has met me. And revealed His love to me. And by grace I may say that there is the earmark, and there is a footmark. Yes, my heart goes out after Him in faith. I do not say that it's always strong faith. That doesn't matter. But what if you are not a sheep of the shepherd? What if you are like Jesus speaks about in the New Testament, a wolf in sheep's clothing? Apparently that was a danger He wanted His church to be aware of. What if you have the form of a sheep? You try and talk like a sheep. You try to act like a sheep. But you're not a sheep of the shepherd. You can't be content with that, can you, that you have the form of a sheep? Don't you see that you miss this Savior and Shepherd? And what if the Lord begins to take away from you? How will you deal with prosperity without the Shepherd? And how will you deal with adversity without the Shepherd? And how will you suffer if you don't have the Shepherd? And how will you die if the Lord is not your Shepherd? Then I hope that you will see what the prodigal son began to see in that far country. He had hoped for a good life without his father. But everything was so fleeting, and a famine came. And then Luke 15 verse 14 says this, and he began to be in want. And he's longing for the husks of the pigs. But why, young people, why, congregation, why would you settle for the world's husks when you can have the shepherd's care? He's the one who can deal with your deepest need. And He knows how to find you this very evening. With this shepherd, there is no need to go lost and perish, because He seeks the lost. Or have you never been lost, maybe? Why not ask Him to open your eyes and to uncover you to your need? You know what it is, dear children of God, to feel lost, don't you? And sometimes you don't have that confidence, do you? But the sheep of Psalm 23 is also the sheep of Psalm 119, who says, there at the end of the psalm, thy servant like a sheep has gone astray. Seek me and bring me back. And that in love and faith I learn to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, not in life, not in death, and in eternity. It will be my confession. Having thee no want, I know. Amen.